nothing like inviting the Spirit of God into a situation, into your life, into whatever we're doing. Just hang ten on that, Matt, will you? Kill it for a sec. You know, it's quite incredible. About 3 weeks ago, I shared a message here where I used an illustration of a tank of water, and I had an empty bottle, and from that bottle, I put a little figurine in and said, that's like a lot of people that invite Jesus into their life. The trouble is they put the lid back on the bottle, and Jesus is in their hearts, and that's what happens. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. No question, Christ's there. But they leave a lot of space in the bottle, in their life, in their body. And then they get involved in the things that God has for them. And I put that bottle back in this tub of water, which was God's fullness and God's provision by illustration. The trouble was it wouldn't sink into it. It floated on the top. And all of God's provision is there, totally available, and they're bobbing around, having a wonderful time in God and thinking it's great. Got Christ in their hearts. But the bottle's not full to capacity because the lid's still on. And what happened when I took the lid off? Instead of Christ being in, they submerged into Christ. And there's a difference between Christ in us and us being in Him. It's a fully enveloped lifestyle. And a couple of weeks ago then I continued on with a body, soul, spirit scenario. Matt, we can have that up now. And I'll quickly run through this because some of you may not have seen all of this. But prior to Christ, we are body, soul, mind, will, emotions, and spirit. But the problem is we are not spiritually alive outside of Christ. We are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul, but the spirit man is not functional. He's dysfunctional because he's not alive in the Spirit of God. And everything that the soul computes and discerns and adheres to and follows is fully based on everything coming through the body only. The body gives a signal. What does the body want? The body wants what the body wants, body gets. And the soul says, well, hey, why not? And so the mind relates to the signals coming through and listens to the greatest source of signals, and the spirit man is inactive. People sometimes even get to a worse point where they sever any contact with the spirit. And the Bible talks having their consciences seared with a hot iron, and they disassociate anything from what they're doing in the natural. And that takes them to a position where Paul said in the scriptures that they had their consciences seared with a hot iron, following deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons, and they become totally seared and severed from anything. Even their conscience doesn't tell them what's right or wrong anymore. They're totally living in a life of self and evil. But once you get born again, we have a scenario where the spirit man comes alive. Now, you're still body, soul, but this spirit man has suddenly come into the equation. And the spirit of us is what God makes alive. It's what being born again is all about. You're born again. Your body doesn't get born, but your spirit man comes alive. You are regenerated, renewed. And I want to tell you this. When you are born again and you come to Christ, God has no record of the past life. He will never turn around and say, but I remember when you did this. What does the Bible tell us? Your sins, your iniquities, I will remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. We have to understand that fully to appreciate how much God has done. Now, our memories get in the way. Our mind gets in the way. Our soul is still filled with the thoughts and the past life and the things we were, the things we've done. And there are influences that try and regenerate in us to make us feel like we're not worthy, we're not capable, we're incomplete. and we listen to the lies of the devil and we listen to the deceit of other things, and we don't listen to the spirit man because we haven't trained him yet to fully be aware. Next one, Matt. And you know something? We've got to go from what we were before in our body, soul, self-control to reversing it to spirit control. Next one, Matt. So when God's voice comes into the equation and the spirit man comes into it, what happens is we have a battleground in our soul. Now, we are so used to our body being a very, you know, demanding part of who we are. And it's also quite used to its, gets into habit forms and habit patterns. And it's very difficult to train this body to surrender. It's very difficult to get our mind transformed. That's why the Bible tells us, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you might prove. And God's word and God's voice comes in via our spirit. Other voices are coming in through our body. We end up with a battleground in our soul. And we need to learn to control and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to develop our spirit man and our mind, will, and emotions coming into a line with what God's saying, not what the old man or the old nature is saying. Amen? All right, let's move on. And what we get here is God's voice starting to take a little more influence, and other voices and our body's demands and our natural man demands dissipating, and our spirit man increasing. Increasing in the knowledge of God, increasing in knowing God in our lives. Next one. The spirit man will gain influence as we submit ourselves to God and to his word, and the voice of the Holy Spirit will intensify as we surrender to God in our life. Now, initially, when we first start, Christ is in us when we're born again. No question about that. But the Bible tells us it's Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. It's not the glory, it's a hope of glory. God places his hope. He entrusts us with his anointing, with his spirit. And he says, that's there to intensify, to bring about my glory in your life. Now, when that goes on, we need to learn to develop our spiritual walk in Christ so that that glory God has entrusted us with becomes a reality. And we're all on some way on the path, somewhere along the pathway, getting there. Some of us still have Christ in us and a bottle with a lid on. Get it off. Some of us have got part of the bottle filled with Christ and some of God in us. We're not fully surrendered. We haven't submerged fully into him. But you know, when the Bible says we are, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It doesn't say if any man have Christ in him, he's a new creature. You think about that. You think about that. There is a surrender. We need to surrender continually. I find I have to surrender daily. If I don't, what wants to take over? The voices of the old man. The old nature wants to live me, wants to direct me, wants to govern. And it keeps coming back. We have to surrender daily. Like Paul said, I die daily. And what happens if we are still in a situation of conflict where we are not sure our spirit's governing or our soul's governing, or we are allowing one, we're swaying backwards and forwards, you know, we're almost schizophrenic with this personality and that the other day. Not quite seriously, but if God's glory is to grow in us and develop in us and to reveal himself in us, we need to learn to fully surrender. Because what did the word God say? My glory I will not share with another. And sometimes I've questioned God, and Lord, you promised your glory is going to be revealed and flesh will see it together. What's going on? And this scripture comes back to me. My glory I will not share. When my people are surrendered, my glory will manifest. When my people are totally enveloped in me, I will let my glory be fully manifest. It's in part now. The Bible tells us we now know in part. Now, I'm not looking forward to when Christ comes back or the future life to be able to be showing his glory. The Bible says it will be revealed here, now. And right in, even in this, go back, Matt, back one. Even in this situation here, we've still got God's voice working, other voices working, and the soul realm still computing which one it's going to listen to. And we need to come to a point where we give up completely, go to the next one, Matt. And in the beginning, we were body, soul, and dead to the spirit. The new life in Christ should be spirit, soul, and dead to the body. Because man became a living soul. The soul is important. The soul is an important part of it. And the soul, where the mind, will, and emotions are, will only hear God's voice and abide by God's word and compute and govern our lives by that. The body will be what? Likewise, reckon yourselves dead. It's still there, but it's no longer the governing influence. It's no longer the force that directs us and drives us and motivates us. It's not a matter of, you know, where the body goes past a... I mean, go past cake shops and can't stop looking and longing. I reckon they should put black windows on cake shops. It's terrible. I go past the one up there in Wood End, Berkey's, and I see the... And those vanilla slices, they have got a voice, man. They have a voice. And that voice comes in loud and clear, but you know it's not coming in through this end, it's coming in through that end, and I'm telling you, it screams. And I'm walking past, and it's like the legs just have this automatic gravitation into there. What's winning? The old man. Now, I know I've got to feed it, and I've got to look after it, and I've got to clothe it and brush its hair and clean its teeth, and I've got to look after this body. But I've got to make sure it doesn't govern.
Yeah, right.
Let's pray for black windows on food shops. It's never going to happen, is it? But when we get to this stage here, this is where... In God, I believe God's glory can be manifest. Where our old man is so crucified with Christ that we just don't have Christ in us, but we are in him, manifesting our new creature status. And God then is totally what the Bible says, that you might be what? Filled with all the fullness of God.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Can you picture that? Can you picture God's church, his body across this planet, where we are as members in particular, each one of us so surrendered, filled with the fullness of God. The book of Acts and what happened there when the church took off would fade into comparison. We would have to write a new, not a book of the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the church in the 21st century. Man, could you imagine that? Can you imagine where people would then entrust the sick on the footpath, so the shadow of us walking by would go overshadow them? That's just unheard of in today's. But if it happened in the book of Acts, my Bible tells me I'm the Lord God, I change not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What could happen there, what was outpoured there, I believe will be outpoured in this end age. The Bible even tells us, there will come the rain, both the former rain and the latter rain, in one hit. I'm telling you, it's going to be powerful. Are we ready? Are we surrendered enough? Are we going to be worthy recipients of God's glory? Or have we still got too much of the old nature governing and listening to too much of the old nature voices? Move on, Matt. How do we get there? Paul said this, and I finished with this a couple of weeks ago. Paul's life was with purpose. He had no aimless goals. He was running with a purpose. He didn't fight like an out boxer, doing, you know, going through the motions without hitting anything. He had purpose in everything that he was aiming at. He disciplined his body and kept it under control or subjection, lest he could be disqualified even after preaching to others. Galatians 5, and those who belong to Christ, who crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Man, and then he says this, I die daily. Most people wake up in the morning and come to life. Best thing to do is wake up of a morning and die, spiritually at least, or in the body, in the old man, and give the life of the spirit full control. Amen? Let's move on. And he says, I've been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in, by, through, and because of the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
You see the power in that now? Can you see the intensity in that? Being crucified with Christ is not just the fact that when Christ died, he died for us all. It's a fact that we have surrendered ourselves to such a position in our lives that we've crucified the flesh with its affections, its desires, its passions, its demands, and its everything else. Because if that can happen in Paul, it can happen in us. Here's an illustration. It was one man, Adam, who brought sin into the world and corrupted the whole world. And it was one man, Christ, who came and redeemed us from that fall and that going into that corruption. How much more will those who receive the overflow of what is it, Matt? Grace. Yeah. And the gift of righteousness reign in life. Not be beaten about by life, not struggling through life, not finding life is giving us such a hard time, we're constantly getting battered by it. We are called to what? Reign in life by one Christ Jesus. And it can only come about through a surrendered body man living in the spirit realm. We've been called to reign, to have dominion. And in life, it's the real purpose of becoming a living soul that God made us to be in the first place. You know, we sing songs, and I know Jesus has overcome, and that's great. But he says to us in Revelation 3:20, him that what? Overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. You know, we want to be pillars? Where people can rely on us, lean on us, depend on us, see God's glory working in us, being people that uphold God's word and God's principles and God's power. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar. But most Christians are pillows. We need to get away from the pillow status to the pillar status. Amen? Not be asleep to the things of God and not just wandering off in things of the flesh and the mind and constantly having to battle it. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, putting on his armor and walking in the fullness of his spirit. Amen. If you have a look at what God entrusted to the Lord Jesus when he came here in Colossians, Paul, of course, encourages the church here first, and he says that he prays for them, asking they be filled with, not with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now this is amazing. He wants them to know this. And this is pretty much what Paul was praying for the church that I've talked to you about here. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Come on, letting the voice of the Spirit govern our lives. And getting to the point, strengthened with all power, according to his might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, delivering us from the domain of darkness and transferring us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, I'll tell you what Paul's talking to this Colossian church about is a reality, and he prayed they would come to that point of knowing, understanding, believing it, practicing it, and applying it in their lives. Look at what happened in Jesus. He came. And it's in whom? I've underlined everything in this passage that talks about the fact that Jesus was the one who came and gave us all of this. In whom we have redemption. He is the image of the invisible God. By him all things were created. In heaven and earth. Visible and invisible. By him. Amazing, eh? All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist and hold together. I don't know if you're aware of this, but if the Lord Jesus decided for some reason, I've had enough of this planet Earth, I'm cutting off my sustenance of that planet today and my cords of life, everything on it would die immediately. This atmosphere has got nothing to keep us alive if the Lord Jesus wasn't upholding it. Wasn't sustaining it, wasn't keeping it going. It's all in him. It's upheld through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Now listen to this. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Or you should read that without breaking the verse. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. They entrusted Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Father and Holy Spirit, fully entrusted everything that they were in reputation and existence into the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not embarrassed to say, hey, I'm going to envelop this Jesus with all that we are. The Father even said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Hear him. Hear him. And you know something, back in Colossians, oh, then you go on, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, notice that, doing evil deeds, the mind was hostile towards God, no spirit influence, no spirit voice control, he has now reconciled in the body of his flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if. Isn't it funny how things like this have an if? If. You know, I wish it was like one of those things that was like fully, you turn a light on and well, there it is. But it's dependent on if you keep the switch turned on. You turn the switch off, the light's no longer there. And, you know, sometimes in Christian circles, we lose tenacity, we lose drive, and I don't know why it is. We need to consistently, and we do, because we've got an enemy out there that's trying to bring us down. We've got to continue in our walk, in our faith, in our journey, and in our progress so that our lives are no longer body, spirit, demanding, soul in turmoil, but body crucified with Christ, spirit and soul in harmony with the Spirit of God walking. And that's a progress of our faith growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And there's a big if there. We need to continue in the faith. Stable. Stable. Stability is important in God. We can't be flaky Christians. I think some Christians are in a stable, they're just in the hay. We need to be stable, amen? We got to be stable and steadfast, not moving, not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, as it says in Timothy, I think it is. Some people with, you know, something comes along and the next big wave of something happening, and everybody goes trotting off overseas to look at what's going on over there, and they come back and try and emulate it. And then something else happens, and we trot off overseas and we go, oh, this is happening. No, what's God want to do here? Let him do what he wants to do in Toronto and Florida and whatever. What about the Gisborne anointing? What about the Gisborne outpouring? What about the Melton outpouring? What about the Pasco Vale outpouring? What about the Sunbury outpouring? Come on. We need to be seeking God here for his outpouring for this area that we're in. There are people out there perishing, and we're running off over here getting a little glory shot and a shot in the arm and a glory of this, and the glory dies after a little while, and it's, oh, we'll wait for the next glory. Rubbish. Churches fiddled around long enough, and we need to get serious about this. And if God's glory is to be manifest in us, the only way to do it is I'm crucified with Christ. Whew. Amen. Continuing in the faith, not shifting from the hope of the gospel which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Let God pour his spirit out in different parts of the world, whichever way he wants to, but I want God to pour his spirit out on this place. Too many people out here just not knowing God that need the word of God and the salvation of God. And who are they looking to? Media, everybody else. They need to be looking for the hope of glory, Christ in us and us in Christ. Amen? And the Bible tells us this in Colossians chapter 2. And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to walk in him. I love these first two chapters of Colossians. I don't know how many times I've read them, and they've challenged me and spoken to me and spurred me on to be what God wants me to be. Especially this part here. As you have received Christ Jesus as your Lord, so walk ye in him, if it's King James.
thoroughly rooted. Man, I tell you what, you get a tree that's not rooted in the ground, it's a flaky tree. In fact, it dies pretty quickly. You need to be fully rooted and grounded and built up in Him. Your faith will then grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. And I don't care if it comes in through the church even. Because churches, they'll do things. I remember being in a church one day and they're waving flags around. Someone's walking up and down the aisle and they're waving these flags and I got clunked on the head and I wanted to grab that flag and I restrained the old man. I had to crucify him for that moment, thinking, why on earth, where's that in the scripture? What have we got to do? We've got to have these gimmicks to praise God. No, we don't need a gimmick to praise God. We just need to praise Him. We can't get caught up with externalisms and things. We need to just be serious about Christ being in us, the hope of glory, and us crucifying ourselves so that we are in Him, a new creature, and manifesting His glory. There's a growth status there that we need to get into. Now, this is what I talked about in Jesus before. In Him. You know, the Father and the Spirit entrusted everything in Christ Jesus. Remember that? They fully entrusted the whole of their reputation, their name, and all that they were, and they put it into Him. Said, this is the one that we're entrusting everything to on this planet to bring salvation to mankind. In Him, dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Maybe it was just because He was Jesus. Maybe it was just because He was the Son of God. Was He someone special? Was He someone greater? No, He gave all that up. He laid aside His reputation, took upon Himself the form of a man, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know something? He was no greater than you and me. Flesh, blood, subject to what this body wanted, subject to this world, but He was an overcoming man. Amen? And if He can do it, having the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Him, what does verse 10 say? We got a little bit of Him and we might make it. Now, it doesn't say that, does it? It says your completeness is in Him. So then you are complete in Him who is head over every ruler, principality, power, and authority. And if we ever wonder, if we ever doubt, if we ever come to a point where we're challenged by the fact that we think we're struggling, we need to come to this scripture here, see who Jesus was, what Jesus achieved, and then turn around and go, hang on a minute, He's entrusted that same to me. It's that same anointing to me. I think that's amazing. I think that really is so amazing. You know, when Jesus came, the Spirit anointed Him after He came out of the wilderness. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me too. And He had this great expanse of ministry capacity given to Him. But He was one man in one body with that anointing. In the book of Acts, about 120 were up in the upper room and that same anointing fell on them. 3,000 were saved. 9,000, 12,000. It grew. It exploded. Because people waited on God and were got that same empowerment and anointing that was on the Lord Jesus. Totally committed, surrendered, and turned over to Him. And I'm challenging this church now. We're going to come up next week with a 7 at 7 prayer listing. Now, we've done it before. It's 7 minutes of prayer for 7 days at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 at 7 is going to be launched again next Sunday. The church, I believe, together needs to be focused in prayer. And if we can all pray on the same day at the same time where possible, along that line of God, we're giving ourselves to You. We need Your power. We need Your anointing. We need Your life to be poured out. 7 at 7, I believe, we need to come together seeking God
as a body for his empowerment, for his anointing, and for our lives to be transformed into his image from glory to glory. You know, the Bible says, behold, we all with open face behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And you know, sometimes people are still looking through the glass at the glory because they're not opening their lives up to be recipients of the glory. But once we become fully enveloped with the glory of God the way he wants us to, we then become changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. It's an ongoing forever status that God wants us to develop and grow in. It doesn't just come and say, oh, you got the glory, that's it, that's all. No, there ain't. Once you start getting a taste of the glory of God, and it may be just a smidgen, it may be just a little bit, but then we need to keep seeking God, keep trusting him, keep serving him, keep surrendering to him, because that glory is ongoingly multiplying. It has greater growth than we can ever anticipate or have imagined, and we need to be part and parcel of it. Amen? Is that the last one I got, Matt? This is a song I've been singing all week. No one here knows it, I don't think, do they? Is this plugged in, Mel? What have I got to do to it? Is this going? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue in my mouth. I will make my boast in the Lord. So let the humble magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, worship the Lord, you his saints. There is no stand and sing it with me. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Oh, come and magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. Let's sing that last verse, taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's so good. And blessed is the man who trusts. Worship him now. magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. One more time, the chorus now. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together.
God, that's a cry of our heart. To magnify You in our lives, for Your glory to be revealed and seen, for Your empowerment, for Your anointing, for Your Spirit to envelop us in such a way, oh God, that we dissipate in our own selfish lives and selfish ambitions to crucify our old nature, Lord God. We live in this life, but we live it by faith, in, through, by, and because of the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Father God, today I pray we would all learn to surrender afresh every day to You, to surrender our lives to You in such a way, Lord God, that You can entrust us with Your power, with Your glory, with Your anointing, with the presence of Your Spirit, Lord God, that would impact this world for Your glory, to see Your kingdom enlarge and increase and grow the way that You have a desire to see it grow, Lord. Father, I pray for a passion to envelop each one of us, for a passion for You, for a passion for Your kingdom to grow in us and through us, for a passion, Lord God, for Your life to transform us from glory to glory in Jesus' name. Amen.